local government commission. And without Sim, wow, would that have ever even happened? Just amazing. So I don't know where he is, but I really got to thank him. And I really want to thank Peter for doing this. What a wonderful thing to bring us all back to those days when we were feeling like there wasn't anything that we couldn't do. It was a wonderful time. I also remember Sim bringing together Peter, which was, I think, the first time I met you, at Westerbeck Ranch in Sonoma County. And Sim brought a whole bunch of people together from across the United States to envision what the future could be in terms of redeveloped communities, new communities, etc. And those were the days, man. That was so much fun. So my job is to tell you where we've come since then and what might be happening in the future. And I will get my notes. So I started in government back when Sim and Peter were around, and Jerry Brown was the governor, and it was wonderful. I mean, there wasn't an idea that you could think of that somebody didn't say, sure, go ahead and do that. And so I think probably one of the most important things that happened then was the adoption of our energy conservation building standards, which have resulted in the United States, in California, using less energy per capita than almost every state in this whole country, and really helped us create an economy that's vital, that's not so dependent on foreign oil. A lot more we could do, but that was pretty amazing. I remember the day that Jerry left and Governor Dee approached, and all of a sudden all those wonderful people were gone, the doors were closed. It was the dark ages for a long, 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 long time. There was one bright spot in California when, I don't even remember what year it was, but we passed a recycling law, which happened because so many local governments were doing recycling, that some legislator got the great idea of how about just requiring it throughout California. And so we, the state set standards. We will reduce waste by 25% by a certain date and 50% by another date, 5 years out. And then we'll give local governments plenty of money to come up with these policies and programs and make it happen. And now California local governments are recycling more than half of their waste. So it showed me how important local government is. If you just give them a target, give them the money, and then let those creative juices flow, there's so much that can happen. And I've been hearing today, again, sort of an affirmation of that, of how important the ground level is and how important people are and their innovative capabilities and the flexibility at the local level that will really, I think, allow us to address this huge problem that we are facing. So today is an amazing time again. I feel again as though things are happening really quickly and there's just an opportunity to make huge change. And I think it started with sort of an understanding of global warming and the significance to California. And Fran Pavley, who was a member of the legislature, who put forward some light-duty vehicle standards with the idea that we don't have to sell cars in California that gobble up fuel. We can do better. Now, it's never been enacted because there's a certain president who won't let it, but both of the candidates have said that they will allow us to enact our standards, and a number of states are going to follow right behind in our footsteps. But that was the first. Then we had a governor who all of a sudden was taking leadership in this, where for so many years nothing happened, and who passed a resolution that 20% of emission, that we had to reduce our emissions to 1990 levels by 2020. And that's right now about a 25 or 35% reduction of greenhouse gas emissions that we need to accomplish by 2020. And then he set a goal of 80% by 2050, which is pretty great. together regulations of how we're going to do this and then monitor them. And so we first saw the plan of what she came up with in June of 2008, just a few months ago. And it was disappointing when it came to local government and land use. And I will talk to you a little bit about that later because there's a lot of pushback that we are imagining right now. And then, of course, we elected Jerry Brown to become Attorney General. And I think of everything that's happened, what he has done has been probably the most effective. He decided that within an environmental impact report, you've got to consider greenhouse gases. And nobody had really thought about that at all. I think there were two EIRs in the entire state at that point that had gone to that extent. So he sued a county, a great big county, San Bernardino County, and their general plan had not considered greenhouse gases, and to their credit, they'd been working on it 5 years, and nobody was even aware of the problem of global warming at that time. So, of course, they didn't consider it. And he went into negotiations with them, said, either I'm going to sue you or you do what I ask you to do. And what he asked them to do was just measure what they were doing and come up with a target of how to reduce it, and really not a lot beyond there. And then he felt so badly about putting it on him that he said, well, I'll find you the money to pay for this. Don't worry about it. So I get a call from the Attorney General's office saying, Judy, where can we get a grant of $150,000? So that was last year. This year, he sued the city of Stockton, and his staff went over there being far more sophisticated. And what they have negotiated is anything that I could have possibly wanted. Now they will do an inventory of their greenhouse gas emissions. They will set targets. They will make sure that every new house is within their existing urban boundary, and that about a quarter of them are actually going to be built downtown. They're doing a lot of green ordinance development. They're making sure that all housing is transit friendly. It's an incredible package. And in, hopefully nobody has stopped in here, but I would say it's one of the most backward areas of the entire state. Much more conservative than anywhere else. And what is wonderful, too, is that the courts have heard the case of whether or not the Attorney General is doing the right thing and have backed him fully. And so now, I don't know if Julia's still around here from the Office of Planning and Research, but they are counting the number of EIR hours that are now have addressing global warming, and it's hundreds. It just went from zero to everybody in a very short period of time. That was significant. And I think significantly, too, what that did was to empower a lot of local elected officials who were struggling to take leadership in this issue to suddenly say, hey, we're going to have to do it, so let's get on this right now. And we began to see local governments really waking up and citizen committees working on plans for how to address global warming, this getting integrated in their general plans. And so it was very nice to hear all these bottoms-up ideas coming with that being the solution today, because that's where the innovation is for sure. So a lot of other things have happened at the state. We now have renewable portfolio standards through legislation, which says that 20% of all the energy generated in California by 2010 will be through renewables. But they gave the public utilities or the privately owned utilities a couple more years to do it because they were pushing back on it, of course. But that by not 2020, 33% has to be all renewables. We have some green building standards produced by the state. And during the last few years, in their credit, they have continued to tighten up the Title 24 energy conservation building standards. Now they've got some that they call green, which are currently voluntary but will be mandatory in the future. Building off of this, then, again, empowered local governments, and there's so much activity right now going on around, gee, how can we get better buildings? And standards are 17%. We've seen them go up to 22%. A lot of cities are saying all of our buildings will become LEED. State has said that we're not building anything that isn't LEED certified. And then there are green building guidelines that started actually in Alameda County, and those are being implemented throughout the state too. And then the city of Berkeley, bless them, came up with the idea that, well, we shouldn't just be looking at new. We don't have any new in our city. So let's figure out how to finance and encourage retrofits, conservation retrofits, alternative energy retrofits. And they figured out how to get that into your assessments on your land so that if I'm a homeowner and I want to put a solar collector on my roof, I can go to the city and say, I need the money for this. That will get put into my taxes. And if I sell my house, then the next homeowner who gets the benefits of that solar collector also takes on the assessment. And it's amazing. That was just like a charter city, Peter, or a general law city that was allowed to do that. And the law has just been changed so that every city can do it. And all of a sudden, I've seen cities like Galt, Palm Desert, coming up with the same proposal. So again, local level ready to pass. Okay, back to AB 32, our greenhouse gas reduction plan from the governor and from the legislature. The Air Resources Board put together what they call the scoping plan, which was a draft that came out in June of this year. And it's talked about we have to get 169 million metric tons of CO2 reduced. And how are we going to do that? Here's our plan. And the great disappointment to me was that out of 169 million metric tons of CO2 for local government actions and regional greenhouse gas reduction targets, the total amount is 2 out of 169. So thanks to a lot of environmental groups in the Bay Area, the group came together called Climate Plan. And there was, among this group, mostly environmentalists in the beginning, an understanding that this was ridiculous and that land use really has a huge role to play, and how in the heck can we ever get where we need to go without changing land use patterns and stopping sprawl? And so the idea was, let's figure out how to pound on the governor and the administration to get land use considered in this formula. Well, they then began, with the help of myself and others, to expand the group. We now have public health formally and officially throughout the state on our side, and holding a conference in a month, bringing in all the state leaders and saying, what are you doing? This is not acceptable. We need land uses that allow people to walk and to take transit and bikes. It's healthy. It means better air quality. It means more physical activity. We have American Farmland Trust, the agricultural community with us. I even talked to the Redevelopment Officers Association about how really this is your strongest suit in the legislature. We need to do redevelopment, we need you, and we shouldn't be losing money from the state budget. So that's been, and the Congress for the New Urbanism called a meeting. The troops down here came together, then figured out how to approach the governor themselves, and came up with a plan to do that. So there is this huge movement now of people that are on this and working on it. I'm told by the Air Resources Board staff that they will raise that 2 to a higher number. We have been working with Reed Ewing, who is with the University of Maryland, on what the number should be. He says 14 to 15, is it 16, somewhere like 6 times more than what the standard is now for local government and regional government. So we'll see what we get. And my major concern about this is that there are going to be resources that are put into helping local government accomplish this. And if we don't appear in the scoping plan to any significant amount, then the resources will not appear to any significant amount. And also, Julia and folks at the Office of Planning and Research are working with the legislature on getting a cabinet-level oversight, or at least secretaries of Another very exciting thing that happened this year is I was on an advisory committee for the California Transportation Commission. You may not know about these people, but they're very powerful because they approve every expenditure for state and federal money for transportation projects. So that would be rail, that would be bicycles, that would be highways. And they have a wonderful executive director there, John Barnum, who is incredibly forward-thinking, and a pretty darn good commission, too. It's a commission of, I think, what, 8 people who approve all of these expenditures. And so we worked with them, and the executive director came up with a new policy that says, don't come to us with a proposal for funding transportation, anything, unless you tell us what the greenhouse gas impacts are going to be and what you're going to do to mitigate that. And then I just heard him speak at a dinner we did last week, and he's going much beyond that to saying, you know, we should be spending transportation funds on figuring out how to make our cities more viable. Maybe we should be putting those funds into redoing the infrastructure in town centers so that they can accommodate more growth. So it's stuff that I could imagine spending 10 years pounding on their doors to try to get them to think about this, which now is just like, poof, you know? You bring it up, they do it. It's very exciting. Annie Nodoff is, I think, going to be here. If not, Amanda will be talking about it. But probably the hot thing right now is a bill called SB 375, authored actually by the new head of the Senate. And what it does is to have the Air Resources Board set regional targets to NPOs and councils of government. Here is your greenhouse gas reduction target. This is how many emissions you can do. You come up with plans, blueprint plans, on how to accomplish that target. And then we're going to monitor you to make sure that you do what you're told. And by the way, any plan, any proposal for funding for transportation money will not be awarded to you unless you have a blueprint plan that meets that target. And then the Air Resources Board is supposed to monitor that to make sure that the targets are indeed being enforced. We'll see how that goes. I understand that the governor's in San Francisco. I'm up the hill today. And there are people up there now, and Annie Nodoff might be one of them, who's at his feet begging him to sign the bill. But it's probably important for us to have that kind of structure, because part of the problem, I think, with the Air Resources Board is that they really didn't know how to tackle land use. And this gives them a structure that has been voted by the legislature and approved by the governor, and that's a step forward for them. So there's so much going on at the local level, and it's happening so quickly that I just feel that that's where really where my hopes lie. In the beginning, we were seeing mayors just sign things saying we're going to meet the Kyoto Treaty, and that evolved. But Jerry Brown was one of those when he was mayor of Oakland, and he was telling me, well, I'm standing next to Gavin Newsom, and he was signing this agreement, and I kind of had to have no idea how we were going to meet it, but I signed it. And I think that was probably the case with a lot of the mayors who signed it. But now they're all beginning to look at, okay, how do we get from here to there? And at first, picture time. So at first they were working a lot with ICLEI, measuring their emissions and where they're coming from, and then setting targets. And then they all started with municipal operations, because that's where they feel like they have the control. But that's only 3 to 5% of their total emissions. Then they began to look at local building ordinances and trying to make those buildings more energy efficient, which was a good thing to do. And then they're beginning now to look at land use. That's amazing to me. It seems to be the last thing they think of, and yet it's what we keep telling them over and over again. That's the most important thing that you could be doing. But they are making decisions every week about how to plan their communities and what gets built and what doesn't. To Peter's credit, transit-oriented development, which was newly thought of, in 1988 or so, is now But in closing, again, going back to what Sim did and that integral urban house and the Marin Solar Village, just let's hope that 200 billion of those can bloom. So thanks for the invitation.
I don't know. There's another set of glasses up here, too, if anyone's missing them. Otherwise, we'll auction them off at the end of the program. Thank you very much, Judy. Judy is one of the